Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Didn't even have, love it. I couldn't even use my
The first half of our
phone.
Drive, it was spitting out kilometers for us.
Yes, kilometers. Oh, yeah. It was a European garden.
Going 85.
I couldn't use my phone. Like, it wouldn't sync up with my phone. So I couldn't use my phone because I don't
know. Airplane mode still.
You know, I didn't understand any of it. I didn't understand any of it. And I'm probably so done funny. Doing this. Yeah. That was probably the last great trip for me.
Well, impressive, impressive numbers on the course for you, though.
Yeah.
Not the score so much. Yeah, as the
five golf balls in six holes.
That's quantity, not quality. Yeah.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty, then. We've got a rainy, really soaky Monday morning in Washington, D.C., and yet so many people are here at Chatter. Yeah. At the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Streets Northwest in Friendship Heights. Grateful for their presence. Even more grateful that they'll spend money. Makes me happy.
E-N-T-S or E-N-S-E? When you say grateful for their presence, I just want to be clear.
N-C-E.
Okay,
for their presence.
For them being.
Hey, by the way, this is double breakfast Monday, right? Everyone has to order two breakfasts.
Don't know about it's that. A two breakfast
Lumberjack
Monday.
Special.
Well, there are a lot of kids. Kids are going to want to eat. Gary Braun is here. Chris Saliza is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel is here to run the board, do the news. Nathan Bubis has shown up from Boston.
Right.
The socialite is here as well. To me, I'm going to start with this and then get into the Caps. Okay, I just want to, because I want to establish the fact that we attempt to be a national interest show. The big news in sports today, without any question, is Victor Oladipo playing so well against the Cleveland Cavaliers for the Indiana Pacers. Outscoring LeBron James 32-24. I think this is the first time LeBron James's teams have ever lost game one of a first-round series. I think he'd been like 12-0 or 13-0.
Yeah, it was some
first-round series. This doesn't mean
like
they'll lose
the
series.
Anti-Raptors.
Yeah, it... Huh?
They're the like anti-Raptors. The Raptors
yeah, lose all
had
the
not
time,
won a game one.
Then they won. Yeah. Then they beat the Wizards. Cavaliers could not make any threes. They were 8 for 34 from threes. LeBron was 0 for 4. LeBron did not make a basket outside the paint. He did not.
Game was over 5 minutes in.
It was over 20 the whole game, in the first quarter.
Right.
They got it down to 8 in the beginning of the fourth, but it was over 20 in the first quarter. The other things that happened, Boston won. Boston has great coaching. Boston probably won't win the series, but they won game one. Houston won. James Harden had 44 points. Oklahoma City, Paul George had 36 points. New Orleans beat Portland because Anthony Davis should be the MVP in the league this year. And everything else sort of ran true to form. Mm-hmm. So there's the only real news in the basketball playoffs is that Cleveland lost its first round game. And I am one of those people that never, ever, ever picks against LeBron James except in finals. But I assume he will get to the finals. So perhaps I'm wrong. And that would be the most important thing that happened in sports nationwide. But locally, for the second time in a row with a Caps game, I didn't know what happened.
What happened?
I'm watching television. I'm going around the dial on a lot of different things. And I alight at some point in the middle of the game, in between the first and second periods, I alight on the Capitals, who are up 2-0. I just say, well, they can't possibly lose two in a row at home. It's not possible that they can lose two in a row at home, being up 2-0 for the second time at home. And I continue with my business, and my business at that point is to watch NBA games and to catch up on the two episodes of The Americans, which I had not seen. And that is my television watching for the night.
There you go.
That's what I'm going to do. I wake up in the morning, I go to take the dog out, literally, it's like five.
This is how you found out?
This is the second time in a row I found out this way.
Did the dog tell you?
No, the dog didn't tell me. So the message comes over at 5:33 a.m. At 5:36, I'm about to go outside with the dog, and I do what I do all the time. I say to the dog, just let me check the temperature outside. I assumed it was still raining because it had been torrential rain at 2 and 3 in the morning. I get everything packed up. I check the temperature, and then I see that there's a text or 2 or 10. And it's 5:33 in the morning, Steve Sands. I'm just going to read this. Disgusting, gross, incomprehensible. I hate sports, and that's the clean version out of respect and love for Jeannie. At this point, I go, oh, my God, they lost? And I go to the Washington Post app, and I land on Barry's story, And they've lost again.
Yes.
They've lost in overtime again. At home, again.
Inconceivable.
It's just, it is inconceivable. Then I go back to Sansa's text. Feynman and his stinking Penguins are laughing at us again.
Yes.
Strasburg has more heart than the Caps. No, Strasburg has no heart. Strasburg gave up the lead so easily yesterday. John Wall gives more of an effort on the second night of a back-to-back, and I add parenthetically, when he doesn't play, than the Caps until they're forced to actually play playoff hard. Tom Wilson is dumber and sucks more than Bruce Allen, which is impossible. Have a great Monday. Love you all. Gary responds, love you too, Sans. What a wonderful diatribe to wake up to. Then Sans says, I apologized again last night to my kids for making them be Washington sports fans. Gary writes, took my boys to game one, soul crushing for them. Sans writes, knows the feeling. Nigel puts a cartoon of Lucy pulling the ball away from Charlie Brown.
It's appropriate.
Says, sorry, guys. And I guess, who watched the Elvis documentary?
That's Jeannie.
Jeannie watched the Elvis documentary. I watched the end of that, too. I couldn't bear to see the Caps tank again. Look, I will tell you, and I don't want to get too provincial here, although I understand this is provincial. I will tell you that I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that of the four major sports, the sport where home field is least important is hockey.
Mm-hmm.
You see this all the time. You see lower seeds beat higher seeds, winning it on the road. You see this all the time. So I don't think the Caps are out of it. But when they get two from Ovechkin, they get two
from
Ovechkin.
They're up 3-1 on his second one.
You know, and they lose again at home. You say to yourself,
come on, man.
You say you're done. You cannot look at this. Maybe they're going to win. He's already pulled the goalie.
You can't take the J.V. Martinez. Right.
Who starts in the goal game three?
That there's plenty of time left and we'll win plenty of games?
There's not plenty of time left. I assume that they have to go Holtby. I assume that you'll never see Grubbsy again in a Caps uniform.
Yeah. Right.
That's my assumption.
What are we doing here?
But so, you watched?
I did watch.
They are dogs.
I'm not sure why I watched. I mean, I was flipping back and forth between that and the basketball, but... they blew two goal leads, up 2-0.
They usually just blow a 3-1 lead in games.
And then also 3-1, which they blew. And I think just as a fan, the thing that's so aggravating is to see them come out in the third period with the score, with them then trailing 4-3. And Tony is like, I didn't even recognize.
Sands clearly didn't sleep at all if he's texting like Trump at 5:33 in the morning.
Caps had over 20 shots in the third period. They were playing just like the hairs on fire, to use the colloquialism, and looked great in doing so. And it was so maddening because you're just thinking, like, why don't you just play like that? That's how you should play, right? It's playoff hockey. And they tie it up. Columbus returning the favor that Washington had given Columbus a few nights earlier with two really stupid penalties inside the last 5 minutes.
And Caps, they could not score.
TJ Oshie converts on one of them with like 3.5 minutes left to tie it, and they go to overtime, and you absolutely know how it's going to end, even though it felt to me like they were kind of dominating the overtime as well. But it's just Caps going to cap. It's what they do. Tony, 58 shots on goal they had. 58 shots on goal.
Well, they got four goals. They got four goals.
Well, the other team got five, and they only shot 30 times.
This is kind of freeing because this is the continuation of the narrative that was established at the beginning of the season, and you had people like Neil Greenberg pointing this out. They're not as good as their record, and they're not as good as a 2-0 lead in the first period. It's okay. They're not very good this year.
Although Trotsky...
I ride with Neil.
Trotsky coming into the playoffs was so loud about how fresh and free they were, and they weren't burdened by being the best team in hockey.
He's going to be free in about a week.
That's right.
And the crown was heavy.
If you want a good regular season coach.
That. You know, the crown got heavy those past couple seasons, carrying that crown around all year.
So now we're ready to go.
The crown got heavy. Oh. By the way, I got to say, I thought I was unique, but I just got a 6:40 a.m. I hate sports
from Sands.
Yeah. There it is. Yeah, it really spreads it around.
A side note from the Capitals, you did watch The Americans, right?
Yes, I've watched all three episodes.
Elizabeth has become
a killer. Every episode she kills at least one person.
Right, it's amazing.
Which tells you how it's going to end.
Right.
She's going to die because she's now also talking constantly about if I don't make it, if something happens to me.
Now, are you off Homeland now, Tony?
Oh,
you're totally off.
Yeah, I'm totally
in.
I'm 100% in on that. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'll go, I
I'm
can
in
go
this
back.
Season. Get in. Yeah, come on in. Yeah. Water's fine.
Jump in the pool.
I watch that rather than the Caps lose.
All right, so a little bit of mail here from Scott Mike Honcho Abercrombie. Dear Dr. Hoff Waff, as long as you're handing out official something or others of the Tony Kornheiser Show like candy, I'd like to submit Team Spice Boys as the official competitive chili team of the Tony Kornheiser Show. We're from Alabama originally with one member in South Carolina now. We won the Gulf Coast Regional Chili Cook-Off in 2016 and 2017. We placed 10th in the world at the ICS World Chili Cook-Off in Reno, Nevada in 2017.
Wow.
Team members are J.G. Mongo Fire Carver, me, Scott Mike Honcho Abercrombie, Heon Trevor Heo, and Greg the Hammer Machammer. Or I think that's how it's pronounced. I'd love to hear someday what Wilbon thinks of Team Spice Boys Chili and how, and I'd be happy to share our recipe if you'd like it. We should probably do that.
ICS, International Chili Series?
I guess.
10th best in the world, and he's just going to give
you. Yeah, I'd recommend you keep that close to the chest.
He's going
to
give away the recipe.
I think we should use it. And there are some stickers here.
I didn't realize that was a team deal making a bowl.
From Cole Calvin,
solo. Chili
Denver, Colorado. Don't worry about looking through the Safeway Monopoly pieces because none of them are winners. I thought they maybe could be put to use by entertaining the woman you're related to by marriage and therefore giving you a break from the Hallmark Channel. There's no break from the Hallmark Channel. Secondly, it seems that the first TK name tag that I sent needs clarification that along with not being a creeper, you're not a perv either. The name tag, too, should clarify that. It says Tony K, an owner of Chatter, not a creeper or a pervert.
Oh, so they fit all that on one button?
Oh, sure.
Very, very nice.
You got two.
Got a happy Passover call.
Yeah, he made the first one.
Jeff Cox in Shererville or Indiana. I've been a loyal little since ESPN Sports Zone days when you were kind enough to send me an autographed photo and a tape and CD of music by Roy Battelle and the Altones. Hopefully the enclosed Monopoly pieces from the Jewel Osco in Dyer, Indiana, near Chicago, are the ones that will help you win fabulous prizes. No, they're never going to win. Very, very nice card. We have a wedding announcement. Alexander Marsh and Greer Henderson invite you to celebrate with them on their wedding day, the 19th of May. That's next month. This is going to be at the Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. So congratulations to Alexandra
Elville.
And Greer.
This is the letter accompanying that.
Accompanying this thing.
Yep.
Thank you for the hours of entertainment when I'm exercising. There have been many times I've gotten weird looks from others in the gym as I start laughing hysterically. I made the voyage with a woman I'm soon to be related to by marriage last May. It made my year to be able to sit in the studio well at a table at the far end of the studio being silent as a mouse as we listen to the pod. So almost a year to the day we'll be getting married and close as an invitation to our wedding at the Great American Ballpark. Wow. In Cincinnati, cool. Ohio, where the Reds play. Maybe you can play around at Camargo and attend the wedding. Maybe you can just get me on Camargo to get around on the course. Thanks for the laughs. Hopefully I'll be able to tell Michael it's sunny on June 2nd, 2018. This is Matthew Hay from Cincinnati, and he is a loyal little, and he talks about his wife-to-be, a forced loyal little, Morgan McLean Hay in Cincinnati,
Ohio.
Do
you get married on the field?
I guess.
Because that's kind of cool.
Is that like a Mooney situation?
I guess.
Maybe they're like 100
weddings. Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's really nice. That's really nice. Do they do that here?
That'd be cool.
They do that
cool here. Invite, too.
Yeah,
can you walk through the bats? Ballpark. You know, the things where they do the bats?
It's the McLean. Hey,
Nigel, I imagine that's how you're going to do it.
All right, okay, so we'll take a break. Wilbon
does that with the
swords. Wilbon will join us. Wilbon will be full of vigor and anger.
The best sport in the world, Tone.
Yeah, we'll be full of something when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Casper ad. You've heard me talking about Casper for some time now, and that's because Casper makes expertly designed products to help you get the best rest at affordable prices. You spend a third of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for quality sleep service with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. The breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. Casper isn't only a mattress company. They also offer a wide array that is so hard to say of other products like pillows and sheets to ensure an overall better sleep experience. Not only are you getting the best sleep experience, but Casper's overall purchasing experience is hassle-free. They deliver right to your door in a small, how-did-they-do-that size box, plus free shipping and returns in the United States and Canada. And for listeners to this high-quality podcast, Casper's offering $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/Tony. And using the promo code Tony at checkout, the only way to get $50 towards select mattresses is by going to Casper, CASPER.com/Tony and using promo code Tony at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Mike Driggs is the singer of a band called Cutting Through. Mm. We're called Cutting Through. We're a hardcore punk band out of Portland, Oregon. We're touring Europe starting April 12th, so that happened already, in Barcelona, Spain. Be a great privilege if we could get some airtime to promote a song off our new 7-inch, what is that? Is that a disc of some sort coming out on New Age Records?
It's one more than six.
I know that I cannot be the only little punk. Yes, that phrase has now been coined. And I hope this leads to the creation of someone donning a mohawk and polyester pants to present Tim Kirchin with an avocado in the most awkward situation ever. Thank you for years of laughter. That's very, very nice. This is Cutting Through when they introduce Michael Wilbon. We are at playoffs galore. And so I'm given the fact that so many games happened over the weekend, and you couldn't have watched them all, but I'm sure you're up to date on most of them. And the NBA.
Yeah.
What one thing stands out most of the last, say, 72 hours?
Obviously, when you have the best player on the planet record a triple-double in a playoff game at home and lose by 20.
Yeah.
That tends to jump out at you. So you got to go right to LeBron. But, Tony, the most stunning performance of the weekend to me, and I watched 7 of the 8 games, I guess. I didn't watch Golden State, but I watched all the other games. The most stunning performance is Philadelphia, the 76ers.
I told you they'd win easily.
130. Are you kidding me?
No,
without
Embiid.
I'm telling you, they're going to win easily in this
without
series.
Without Embiid.
Yeah.
I just.
Anyone saying they're better without him, like everyone did about John Wall?
No, you're not going to go to that sort of level of dumbness. But so that, and then, you know, the Capitals losing. Last night I watched regulation. But the Minnesota-Houston game was so good, and that's primarily what I do, that I escaped to a different TV to watch that, the end of that game. And then I go, sure, what happened with the Capitals? Because she's a head Capital fan here, Miss Capital. And there was just a frown. And I just said, oh, boy. I watched in regulation. I watched them blow another 2-goal lead. And, Tony, this is what Eddie Olczyk told us. He said, I just think Columbus will find a way to win.
He did. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Maybe you have a theory as to this, because I don't want to count them out yet, because I believe, and I'm sure you believe as well, that of the four major sports, the one where the home field matters least is hockey, traditionally.
No, baseball.
Oh, you think baseball more than hockey?
Yeah, baseball matters least.
Well, do you have some idea why that is? I don't know why.
Because goaltending trumps. You know, goaltending trumps everything in that sport.
Yeah.
Or the lack of it. And so, we knew going in the Capitals Trotz had made this decision to change goaltenders. And you may not have a great one. Maybe, but one thing, Tony, just listening and reading, people thought if this blows up in game one and he has to go back to Holtby, then they've got a world of hurt that they're facing. And, I know yes, home ice does not mean as much as home court.
Right.
I get that. It's true. But, man, I just think the psychological baggage, the Capitals, the emotional baggage they carry. Oh. And this is like talking about, halfway through the Cubs' lifelong drought of, 100 years. The Capitals are like 40 years plus through. And you say, oh, well, it's a different team. See, no, that doesn't wash. Because it isn't a different team. And people do live in a place, and they do go to PTA meetings, and they go to dinner, and they live in a place, and they hear all the time how they choke. They hear this stuff. And so it does weigh on them. I don't care. The thing is, people like to say, oh, well, I wasn't around for the first 40 years. You didn't have to be. They've taken it on. And I just don't believe, these 2-goal leads, This is regime after regime. Whether it's David Perl as the general manager, or now whether it's McPhee, or now whether it's Ron Wilson coaching, or it doesn't matter. It's the same result. And so anyway, so that stands out to us here in Washington.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Philadelphia 76ers to score 130 on a Miami team that does have playoff experience, whose coach wears championship rings, that to me was the stunner of the weekend. And even more so, I mean, the thing about LeBron, Tony, they can lose. They can. I'm not predicting that they're going to lose yet, but they can lose. And this goes back to what LeBron said very candidly. I don't know what we have. We haven't played a postseason game together yet. And now, if somebody told you that the two best players on a team other than the star, pick the team you want, were going to be Kevin Love and J.R. Smith, would you say that team's going to win a championship? No, you wouldn't. And that's what the case was with Cleveland. And so I looked at Cleveland yesterday and just said, you know what? They're not good enough. Now, maybe they're good enough to beat Indiana. But, I mean, if Toronto lets Cleveland win a series, they should be ashamed of themselves. And it ain't going to happen in the West at all.
All right. I would just say, I think, and I said this on TV the other day, I think you're wrong about Philadelphia and Miami. I think the two best.
Whoa, you got wrong. What did I say?
Well, I thought you think that you thought it'd be a long, tough series, and Miami had a real chance. And
I said Miami had a real chance.
I thought it'd be a 4 or a 5 game series.
It might be
because when Embiid gets on the court, the two best players on the court by a million miles
are on Philly. Yeah,
they're on Philly, and I mean, I don't think Miami's any good. I don't think Miami's any good. Let me move on to the one other sort of upset, technically, which is Portland losing at home to New Orleans. And you know I had Anthony Davis as the MVP.
Yeah.
I don't know that they're going to win, but Anthony Davis is a great and still, it seems to me, unknown player because isn't that the smallest city in the league at this point, New Orleans?
I don't know which Oklahoma City or New Orleans, which is smaller. I don't know which is smaller now. I mean, New Orleans, God, after Katrina, is like the size of Green Bay. But he's not unknown, Tony. He's known. You just can't do anything with him. I mean, I think the two players that people are getting to see in a different light, you can see, we've seen them, are strangely enough, yes, Anthony Davis. You want to see him again because it's only his second trip to the playoffs. And I want to say this because last night to me, as much as I watch him in person, on television, it's been years now. James Harden.
It's great.
James Harden to me, and I typed this as a tweet, and I had trouble typing the words because it seems blasphemous. James Harden is as unguardable as Kobe Bryant was. Now, he's not as acrobatic. There's not the variety of scoring methods that Kobe had. But that step back three, that thing's looking like a skyhook. You cannot, there's nothing you can do. Jimmy Butler, who's had some success, Jimmy Butler's record against LeBron James is nearly 500. And so he's had a little bit of success guarding LeBron James and playing defense, leading a team defense against LeBron James. He was on James Harden last night, and Harden looked like there was nobody there. And it was interesting to hear that the guys on TNT afterward. Somebody posed it, and Charles said, I think he's the most unguardable player, even more so than. It was like he and I were having a conversation about this with Kobe, and we hadn't. But, guys like Anthony Davis, no, he wasn't the MVP. He wasn't the MVP. James Harden is the MVP. I know you didn't watch that game. You weren't up late enough. Tony.
No, it was like game.
They would have dropped game one. If James Harden was an A-minus last night as opposed to an A-plus, Houston's down 1-0, the top seed.
Minnesota's
pretty damn good.
He's great, although we have seen him, like Mike Tyson, on the floor looking for his mouthpiece in a playoff.
And we've seen Anthony Davis get swept.
That's right. By the way, in the 2016 census, New Orleans, 391,000. Oklahoma City, 638,000.
Wow, half the size. Wow.
So New Orleans.
If you include metro area, they're closer, but New Orleans still smaller.
Post
Katrina, New Orleans lost close to half its population.
All right, so I'm going to go local again with Washington and Toronto. Washington, Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan had nothing in the first half. They had nothing. Washington was comfortably ahead at various times in that game. They end up losing that game. I'm not going to fault John Wall because he had 15 assists. He shot 6 for 20, but a lot of those were like really contested layups that could have gone the other way. I'm not. Yeah. I'm just not going to fault him. Although 6-for-20 stinks, but Toronto won that game handily in the second half when they had them where they wanted them. I am not sure for all of the long interviews that DeRozan and Lowry do. I'm not sure in the playoffs they are that good. I'm not.
Tony, maybe they're not. But let me just say this. They have, through their, in my opinion, through their acquisition of players, tweaking the roster, and the way that the coach, the head coach who had a hell of a year himself,
Dwayne Casey,
operated, they are less dependent on their two smallish guards than the Wizards are on theirs.
Yes, you're right.
Okay,
they have better bench, better support.
Yeah. They addressed it a different way.
Yes.
Okay, these are two best players. We still got to roll with them. But we don't have to be entirely dependent on them. Mostly, not entirely, the Wizards entirely dependent on their two guards. So, I don't see that. Can the Wizards make a dent in this series? Yes. Yes, they can. But I don't expect to see the Wizards win this series. I mean, I guess the most it could go is 6, and maybe the Wizards get a game, and more likely 5 to me, than looking at the game the other day. But, I think the locals, if you look, the Wizards, sort of are what they are. The Capitals, to go out like this again, is that's just a stunner, although it shouldn't be. Because people tell us, if you look, the people we talk to on our air, if you just listen to people outside, the local area codes, they'll tell you now Columbus is going to win. And when Panarin and Popeye Jones's kid Seth Jones are on the ice together, Tony, I don't care how many goals Ovechkin scores. He's not as good as he's the third best player on the ice when they're on the ice. And Panarin's not even an accomplished guy yet. He's in like year 3. And the Blackhawks had to give him up for these stupid sports salary cap reasons. But Ovechkin is, last night he was probably the best player. I take that back. Last night he was.
He was.
Game 1 he wasn't.
No.
And I'm not sure he's going to be in the balance of the series.
All right, let me switch gears utterly. It caught me a little bit by surprise yesterday in baseball was Jackie Robinson Day.
Yeah.
And everybody wore 42. They took their names off their jerseys and they wore 42.
Yeah.
We talk about this a lot. You and I, we're old. Do you think people now know who Jackie Robinson is and what he did and what the world was like before and after Jackie Robinson?
Tony, in the same way that they have to try to act like they know who Martin Luther King is. And I'm being quite literal about that. In the same way they know who Rosa Parks was. I hate to say this, but it's ancient history.
It feels
now, it isn't because in baseball, look, Bud Selig, and I'm going to credit Bud. I don't know who else might have had a hand in this. I mean, Bud gets everlasting credit for what he did in insisting that the sport honor Jackie Robinson this way every day. All the time.
There's no other athlete in any other sport that is comparable. They're just not.
No, they're not. And so, it's interesting to go into a ballpark, to go to spring training ballpark. But to go to ballparks, my son loves going to ballparks. And we do. We go to other cities during the summer. We stop and see a game. And, I've had to answer it at when he was 5 and now 7 and now 9 because he's done his own project on Jackie Robinson. And I don't know, he did it in second grade. He's in fourth now. And he said, in the first 5 times, Dad, why is 42, why is that retired here, Jackie Robinson? And you sit and you explain it to your child in a ballpark. And so I think that actually Jackie Robinson, his legacy lives in a way that others don't. I mean, Muhammad Ali, what do people know? And at a time when we are less interested in any history, our own or anyone else's, than at any point in civilization. I mean, the generation now, the two generations, are less interested in any history than they are at any point in our civilization as a society. So when you ask me that question, it makes me sad because I'm serious about my answer.
I saw it, and I'm old enough to remember, and I know what it's about, and I think people take it sort of for granted, which is a shame. All right, I will see you later physically, right?
All right, yeah, absolutely, Tom.
All right, Michael Wilbon, boys and girls, we will take a break. We'll come back. Nigel will do the news when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
From Stephen Randall in New Orleans, who writes, heard the podcast the other day, was elated to hear that the box of Big Easy Playboys CDs and koozies made it. So happy to share this music with everyone. I hope to someday be alongside Dave Shinen in the Chatter Jukebox. I'd like to reiterate my request from a year ago that the Big Easy Playboys be the official Zydeco band of the TK Pod. I thought we did that.
I think they are.
And they are.
Yes. Love this
Of course
song.
They are. With all Love these it. Fellow littles aspiring to become officials, I didn't want every other band with an accordion and a scrub board to get any ideas. And it's signed from Stephen Randall, Peace, Love, and Crawfish. Michael, if people like the Big Easy Playboys who are pros or amateurs want to send in their music, how do they do it?
Send your music into the show by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheiser.com.
And what are we selling? I played golf the other day with Nick Pappas, and Nick had a Johnny O shirt.
Nice.
Reminded me, do we still have the promo code?
We will have another promo code coming out a little bit later in the spring.
Okay.
But given the recent weather, you might want that TK Show knit hat. And we've also received...
They say snow flurries here tomorrow morning.
Yes. Incredible.
What? Snow flurries?
Yeah. It was 82 on Saturday.
Yeah. Thanks, Obama.
Yeah.
More than that.
We've also received a few recommendations. One of our listeners is recommending that we make some Wine Tyrant wine openers. And maybe some wine.
I'd buy one of those.
Like that's that. So great. Jody Goldstein, by the way, is here. Is a wonderful, wonderful writer, sports writer from Houston. She is here.
Tony, you that's pronounced Houston, Tom.
While you were talking with Wilmon about the populations in New Orleans and OKC, you had asked me to check Portland, and I did not decipher the message and messed it up.
But
Portland is actually bigger than both of those.
Okay, so there you go. So it is. So New Orleans, the post-Katrina...
Teeny market.
You know, it just... Yeah. It left. Yeah. It left. Nigel, you have some news?
I do. And before we get to the news, I know you like the Zydeco band, Chris.
I do.
Were you not in a Zydeco band in high school?
I was.
Grey Poupon?
Yes, that's correct.
You were
the
in a Zydeco band?
The spelling was very controversial. I was not in a Zydeco band. I was, however, in a Pixies cover band in college.
Really?
Yeah. Known as Priapus. The Greek god of fertility.
Yeah.
I won't go into what he's known for. But yes, we played a number of gigs, including the Wave House, which is a known party spot in Georgetown. Yes, I have pictures of myself. I have one in my office of me singing. Where Is My Mind?
A fellow graduate of Georgetown, along with you.
Bill Clinton?
No, whose favorite music in the world is Zydeco, is Paul Tagliabue.
Interesting.
Yes, Paul
really?
Tagliabue. Yes.
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 He was on the basketball team, was he not?
He was at one point the leading rebounder career at Georgetown University.
Wow. Yeah,
until Patrick Ewing came along.
Same.
Yeah. And you too. Yes. Go ahead.
Mr. Tony, not a great weekend for the Washington sports teams.
Oh.
We've already talked about the Wizards
How
and
the
Capitals.
Nats?
The Nats dropped 3 out of 4 to the Rockies.
It's a great homestand.
Yeah, losing yesterday in 9th inning home run to... Ian, hi, remember me, Desmond.
Oh, man.
Losing 6-5.
So Michael went to the one game they won
which
Scherzer, why don't you describe Scherzer's outing?
Scherzer was great. I think he had 11 strikeouts. We get into the parking lot, and it took forever to get down there because of the Cherry Blossom Festival. And I wanted to turn around. This was my birthday present to myself.
Right.
Scherzer gives up a two-run homer to go down in the first, and I'm cursing in the car, which I'm not allowed to do because baby boy Bootsy can now understand human language.
Right.
And Liz just reminds me, this is what Scherzer always does.
Yes, he does.
And she was right. He settled down. And the
offense settled down? He retired 20 in a row after that.
I think that's settling them down.
That nailed it.
And the offense was slow to turn around, but they produced a lot of runs, and it was a great afternoon.
Go ahead.
Can I just say I'm officially concerned?
Yeah.
I mean, I know we're 16. They're 7-9, right?
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, I'm six behind the Mets.
I'm concerned.
And they go there at New York today, tomorrow, and Wednesday.
Without pitching Strasburg or Scherzer.
Right. Without Adam Eaton.
Adam Eaton, out.
And without Daniel Murphy.
Rendon, out. Murphy, out. Yeah. Zimmerman, I'd like him to be out.
By the way.
0-5 yesterday.
AJ
batting 122 and his backup, Adams... 185. They have getting nothing out of first base.
We have
Michael
we have
K.
this conversation
Taylor.
Every April with you guys, and sometimes into May. I mean, I would go so far as to say, even if they went to New York and got swept, which I don't think is likely, I would not be concerned. It's April 16th. I mean, it's a long season.
I like
season.
To panic, Gary.
I don't like their bullpen, and I don't like Sean Doolittle as a closer. He gets lefties out. He got the first two out in the ninth inning, both lefties. And then he went 0-2 on Ian Desmond, got to 3-2, and on the third 3-2 pitch, boom, in the deepest part of the ballpark to center field. I don't think he's the right guy to close because I think righties eat him up. Eat him up. So
Charlie Morton is really, really good at baseball. He's very unsightly. But he is so – he's killed the Nats this whole series.
And they don't have Arenado because he is suspended.
Yeah. Wow, I forgot about him.
So, Gary, the worry would be that the Mets are now going to have six, you know, major league starters, and you can't really rely on the chance of somebody getting hurt, and you can't spot somebody essentially a double-digit lead on you.
But you also can't assume they're going to continue to win at an 850 clip.
Well, they won't.
They don't need to.
Nor will the Nats continue to hit at a 230 clip as a team. Well, and if
they
got to
get these guys back.
I just worry the Eaton injury just feels like one of those where it's like, he's not better yet. It's not reacting the way we thought. Like, it just feels like
a Stephen Drew situation where you're out suddenly for four or five months.
Right.
He said he was totally fine.
Yeah.
By the way, just a little bit of cartilage displacement.
Well, this could be the move that gets him back on track. A.J. Cole bumped out of the rotation. Good. Jeremy Hellickson.
He was a major league pitcher of consequence for the Phillies, at least. He was pretty good,
yes.
Hellickson. What else you got?
Well, staying locally, I know you wanted to talk about the weather. It was a gorgeous day on Saturday. Yesterday, it was raining and just bloody cold all day. Almost felt at one point like it was sleeting out.
Look, baseball, this is all over the country. Baseball games postponed yesterday in Chicago, Detroit, Minnesota, Cleveland, and Kansas City.
And probably should have in Boston as well. It was 30 degrees.
So, I mean, you know, if I were a Rothschild, and if I could control the climate, do you think I'd have this? I don't think I would have this.
The Gettys, the Queen.
I don't think I would have this. It's supposed to, again, we mentioned this before, there's a possibility of snow flurries in Washington, D.C. tomorrow, which would be April 17th. Oh. That's late in the game. That's not late in the game for upstate New York.
No,
but
Minnesota,
we're 400 miles south of upstate New York.
It currently, you know, while we're recording, almost, I mean, it is, it's like 5 o'clock in the morning dark.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
It's bad. Yeah.
And blowing cold. Did any of you guys, as I did idiotically, just assume, okay, well, there'll be no spring. I guess summer's here. Like Saturday, I was just like, okay. Well, that's how it goes.
It was cold yesterday.
I didn't realize we were looking at a high of 48.
You got to play on Saturday, though, didn't you?
I played yesterday, too.
Oh, you did?
I played yesterday, too, but not 18. Michael, you played.
I played 35 miles
north
of D.C., where I just saw the thermometer go way down as I got there, and I was not prepared for the weather in Frederick, Maryland.
You were close to that yesterday. All right.
Bad.
Very bad.
Very
bad.
By the way, so I'm looking at the extended.
It's not getting better.
70 until April 28th.
Wow,
that's crazy. That's a lot of 50s and
60s. Because the average temperature high here now is 66 or 67 degrees, and we're not close.
But it knocked out the tree pollen.
Well, good.
True. Good for that.
Yeah, silver lining.
Silver lining, It's as if the climate were changing.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know about
Joe Biden hasn't ruled out running for president in 2020. As he said in an ABC interview, it takes time to come back. Look, no man has a right to go say, help me become president, unless I can look at you and say, you've got my whole heart, my whole soul, all my passion, all my attention. I know I've got to make that decision by, you know, by the end of the year.
How old is Joe Biden now?
74.
Wouldn't he be 76 in 2020?
Yep. And by the way,
isn't that,
He's running.
Isn't that a little bit old to start out for a new job?
Donald Trump.
Haven't we seen these commercials? I just got a job as a lifeguard in Savannah. I'm 85 and I want to go home.
Fake news to Liz are wrong again. Biden, 75 years old.
Okay. Now? I mean, I missed it by...
Yes.
He's older than I thought he was.
I don't know about that.
November 20, so he would turn 77 just after the election. He would be 77 when inaugurated.
That's pretty old.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not saying that The guy now is the same age, or maybe a
year
younger.
71.
Yeah,
he's younger.
That's considerably younger.
But he's in much better shape than everybody.
Well, I mean, he's the healthiest person ever to be elected or run.
And a very stable genius, I would point out.
You have to eat a lot of Big Macs to get to there.
Okay.
Yes. Mr. Tony, I know you wanted to talk about Carrie Underwood.
Well, apparently there's an enormous... And justifiably, she's a great singer.
Yes.
There's an enormous celebration of the fact that she appeared last night on the Country Music Awards.
Yeah, American Country Music
Awards. And was great because she's always great.
Yeah, she's
terrific. But there is some controversy over what happened to her. She fell down a flight of stairs?
Yes, it was reported last November that she fell down a flight of stairs at her house and hurt her wrist very badly, and as was reported at the time by her press people, had some cuts and abrasions, but didn't say exactly specifically.
Well, 40 to 50 stitches.
Well, she later came out. She later came out.
In her face.
Yes. In her face, yes. So then there was this long period of time where she was not photographed, and she said, look, I've had all these stitches. I'm going to look different. I just want to warn you. And then photographs would come out, and it would be like a partial face, you know, shot, or like a face was completely covered up.
Like so people, a Sia type situation?
Sia? I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, you don't
see
her.
The singer, she never shows her face, ever.
Oh, well, there you go.
Did Chandelier?
Welcome to 2018.
Did she open up for the Beatles at any point?
Yes.
No. So it was sort of like this big mystery, and then there were some shots of her, and people would say, well, I can't see any evidence of any stitches whatsoever. So now
that would
I guess
be some, great plastic surgery.
Yeah, I think some people are now putting out the
but
theory.
But she looks like she has her own face.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Not she looks exactly the same.
It's not like when you look at someone, for example, like Kathy Griffin.
Right.
And you go,
right.
Well, she doesn't look anything.
Or Kenny Rogers.
Like
Kenny Rogers.
Like
yes.
They don't look Nigel. Anything yes, like they used to look like.
Yes.
But she looks like Carrie Underwood.
Yes. I think Renee Zellweger also had some work done where literally when you saw her again, you're like, that looks like she went into witness protection program.
So
completely
that's,
different.
Yeah.
So, can I tell a quick stitches story?
Sure.
Please.
On Friday afternoon, I got a phone call from the school nurse. And when, by I mean my wife. And there had been a tricycle accident at school.
Trike.
And my son had sliced his nostril fully through.
Oh my.
So we went to a plastic surgeon and I bravely.
You're yes. not a big fan of blood. Many don't know that about Lace.
You would think I'd be tough, yeah. Right? The doctor asked me, clearly I was showing the effects of being close
would you
to
like
it.
To sit down?
She
would
said,
you like to leave
she up? Said, she said, Dad, are you doing okay? Yeah. And I was like, yeah, fine. But the best part about it was my son is laying that down and they say, okay, we're going to have to give you two stitches. He immediately sits up and barfs. It was so good.
Proudest moment.
So yeah, epic. I was like, that. Now I know that's my son. That's exactly the reaction I would have.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
But
how's
he'll
he
be
doing?
Fine. He'll all be right? fine.
Well, yeah. we're in the market for a nose replacement. But other than that, he's fine. No, cool. I think he got six stitches in his nose, though. Yeah. Very tough looking. Not Carrie Underwood like.
There's a theft problem here in the Washington, D.C. area, and this is going to impact your life on a daily basis.
Yes.
Yoga studios, Mr. Yes. Tony, have been targeted because, for the most part, they do not have locked lockers. They just have cubby holes where people put their valuables, and people are wandering into these places pretending to want a membership or asking, you know, questions to the person at the desk while
yoga's
accomplices.
Yoga's bad. Hurt me
well, why
for
wouldn't
month.
They? Is that like a moral superiority? I mean, why yeah, would a yoga studio be like, yeah. well, we don't need locks.
Yoga
we do yoga.
People
I mean,
don't steal.
Because
very
I think,
zen.
I think they say yoga studios, well, actually, this is the quote from Andrea Messina, a teacher at Lighthouse Yoga Center in Petworth. Yoga studios are supposed to be safe places.
Have you
Gary,
seen, let's go
have
over
you
to
seen
that yoga
one of these
place
studios
later.
When it's their changeover time for a class? They have, there's no buffer zone. It's one class after.
Get them in,
after,
get them out.
Yeah, so they don't have time for people to go and unlock their personals.
Yes.
Have you tried yoga, Tony?
One time.
You should give it a shot.
One and one only.
Tony, what's your take on Michael Clayton?
I will just say this. Having just been robbed at my gym,
yes.
where I did have a locker
burgled,
and a locker.
Burgled.
Well, how could
not
that
robbed.
Happen then if you locked your
why
stuff
did
up?
You, why do you carry that massive wad
if
of hundreds?
If you locked your stuff carry, up.
They came in
they
and
came in with a bolt cutter.
Bolt cut the lock.
And how did they come in with a bolt cutter? They just walked into the gym
because
carrying
a
bolt cutter?
That
wouldn't that be suspicious?
Bolt well, cutter in your pants?
Let me explain
you just
to
have
somebody. Exactly. Well, you have a bag, a gym bag. You can put it in there.
Yeah.
I don't bring bags to the gym.
Of course you don't, you know.
Someone carries
so, yeah, and he just waited for the locker room to be empty, and all it took him was 10 seconds probably to clip the lock off. And once you do that, you know,
phone,
your,
wallet,
your
credit card.
Did you, do it to, did you do it yourself to collect the insurance?
Yeah. Yeah, I cleaned up on the
so
insurance.
So they're robbing there. Yoga studios all over now?
Yes. Yeah, it's really been a big problem for them.
Easy hit.
Yeah, so there you go.
So to be unnoticed, they drive up in a Subaru?
Yeah. So just to blend in. Yeah. Just
it's
to
the
blend
perfect
in.
Camouflage. Yeah.
Love. That's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Yeah.
I also want to say melancholy happy trails to a couple of people from Hollywood who passed away over the weekend. Milos Forman.
Oh, it's great director. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
And Amadeus. Yeah. And I just want to say,
Those are two Academy Award winning
yeah,
movies.
Yeah, and he won Oscars for both of those. But the scene in Amadeus when Mozart, Tom Hulce, comes in and plays for the first time for the Emperor, just go on YouTube that because it's brilliant. And then Arlie Ermey, who was a drill sergeant in real life and went on to play the unbelievable drill sergeant in Full Metal Jacket.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Terrifying in that role.
Died at the age of 74.
Okay. So. All right. So we will come back with Old Guy Radio.
That's right.
We will come back with Old Guy Radio. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Brooklinen ad. This stuff is very, very good. Brooklinen, very good. You spend a third of your life in your sheets. They make a difference with how you sleep. Start getting better sleep with the best sheets. Brooklinen.com, the best, most comfortable sheets. No big markup. You upgrade your nightly routine, and it helps you feel more rested every single day. It was founded in 2014 by the husband and wife team of Vicky and Rich Fullup. Not only husband and wife, but perhaps tag team wrestlers as well. Their philosophy, the most beautiful, comfortable home essentials, no crazy prices, no unnecessary markups or fees. Most bedding, which I did not know, is marked up as much as 300%. Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world with over 15,000 five-star reviews. Here's something else I didn't know until I started reading this copy. They were named the winner of the best of online bedding category for good housekeeping. Who knew there was such a thing? They have versatile colors and patterns you can mix and match to complement any decor. It is luxury bedding and it is underpriced. You have to try these sheets today. My Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I have ever slept on. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer just for my listeners. You get $20 off and you get free shipping when you use the promo code Tony at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee. This is called the Luke Russert, and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and the free shipping is to use the promo code Tony at Brooklinen.com. That is Brooklinen.com, Brooklinen.com. The promo code is Tony. Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
It's been a hard day's night. Probably the most famous chord in the beginning of a song in the whole Beatles songbook. This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is Hard Day's Night, which I guess I've seen, I don't know, 15 times. I saw Help about 35 times. I saw Hard Day's Night about 15 times. This is 54 years ago today when this was recorded.
Wow. Yes, 1964.
So the director, in terms of critical commentary, was Richard Lester, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
Who directed Hard Day's Night. And that was sort of the announcement to the world that the Beatles had talent.
Yeah.
Not just the music. They had actual talent, and people loved them.
The song's title comes from a phrase from Ringo, who I guess they'd been recording all night, and he came out and said, it's been a hard day's night or something like that, and they said, "Ooh, that's
a good title."
Yeah, and then they wrote the song and wrote the movie. And you talk about the famous opening chord. It's sort of this mystery chord. Nobody really. It's hard to play it because you can't play it just by yourself.
Was it George?
Well, it's a combination of everything. George was playing a special chord on his 12-string Rickenbacker, and we're just listening to the thing by Randy Bachman, who got taken into the Apple Studios with Sir George Martin's son. They played it like track by track so you could hear everything, and then they recreated, and it's just phenomenal.
It is fantastic.
Nigel played it for us in the break. It's very cool. I'd urge people to Google it up.
Yeah, Randy Bachman.
In terms of other famous people who are here today, David Trone, who's running for Congress.
Oh, how about that?
He's Total Wine. Yeah, he's Total Wine. And he said that I've got to get over there. Where's the closest Total Wine? And he said, McLean.
There's one right by my house in McLean.
No, because I don't go there. And I'm also a Calvert Woodley guy. But he said, you got to throw us a bone here and there, so maybe we will.
Did he bring some product?
He did not bring any product. Had he been smarter and brought product,
we'd still be talking about it.
Yeah. So I was thinking about this the other night as we try to make chatter more successful. I mean, we have like 40, 50 people here for breakfast today. So this is a really good day for people, and I'm grateful for that.
I'm the only one clapping.
Yeah. We need to have special events.
We need to have special events. We have rooms that we can use to cater to special events. We need to have, like, for loyal Littles, we need to have, like, a Littles menu. We need to have something once every other week or something like that. Michael, you're shaking your head no?
I totally agree with special events, which we do have with regards to the menu.
Like a Mother's Day event?
You can have special pop-up menus like we had for Bobby Gottfried's party.
Yeah.
Where the Littles and Claire Natola and Jen Babish and all these great listeners got together and made a really cool menu. But that really has to be isolated to that party.
Yes, just that room.
Because you want the restaurant to exist as the neighborhood restaurant, and you don't want
people want some consistency.
Just that room. I mean, you have people in a given room. You say you're going to have this room for the rest of the evening. We used to do, and I always wanted this, we used to do trivia. And I want to get back to trivia because it's a natural draw on nights that, you know, there aren't big crowds in restaurants.
Like a Tuesday
Monday,
night.
Tuesday, Wednesday, something like that. Yeah. And what happened to us was we had a guy working here who was going to do trivia. And he fashioned himself a comedian, and perhaps he is a comedian. But he said, no, I can't do the trivia. So we ended up because he wouldn't do it. And he doesn't work here anymore and trashed us on the way out, sadly. But ended up renting out the trivia to something called District Trivia.
Right.
So the cost of District Trivia was more expensive than what we were gaining on trivia night. And even someone as stupid as I am in terms of business realized we couldn't do that.
Right.
So we had to stop the trivia. If there was a way to generate the trivia without that cost, then we could do it all the time. Do you have any ideas how we could?
So you want something for free?
I guess you could have Nigel come here and do it. Just ask him.
Well, I don't want him to do it.
Yeah, no. He wants people to come to the bar.
No, he does so much with various podcasts. I'm just thinking that isn't there a way? Why
I used to host trivia.
That's right.
How did you get? But you made up your own questions.
We paid teachers to do it.
Oh.
Yeah, we could. You could do that easily.
I would farm that out if we could get someone to do
it. I can find out.
What are the prizes? There are no prizes.
Look at that. You give away gift certificates.
No, you give away gift certificates, like, you know, a $50 gift certificate to the restaurant.
The winner gets their bar tab taken care
of. That's what we would always do. Winner gets their bar tab taken care of. That's it.
And that's what we'll do. That's what we need to do.
Unless it's above $10.
I mean, I got the manager of the restaurant out being a waiter today. Well, I mean, we got some people here today. So,
well, I would say if we said to the Littles, could somebody or is there a group that could help us with the questions? I'm sure
you guys would do that, right?
People would do that.
Nigel, talking to the mic. People can't hear it.
I'm a man of the people.
One of the issues with trivia, particularly with this location, is that it tends to go too long. If you could have a trivia that starts at 7:15 and is over by 8:45,
an hour and a half trivia. Hour and a half trivia.
We would do 5 rounds. I would do 5 rounds, 90 minutes.
That's as much as you want.
Knock it out.
Perfect.
That's as much as you want. That went on for 2.5 to 3 hours. No.
Oh, that's way too long.
Let's design our own trivia, bring people in, and have them order off a limited menu.
Sure.
I mean, that just makes all the sense in the world. You want to talk about your golf match?
I'm happy to talk about my golf match. So this is the start of the Maryland State A-Team matches.
Which
we had a
Columbia
bye.
Won last year.
Yeah, we beat Baltimore Country Club. had a bye, and we could have played on the most beautiful day of the spring.
Saturday.
Instead, we got 51 windy with a downpour that happened on number 9.
Yeah.
So this was we ended up getting 3 points. We were down 2 holes on the front 9, down 2 through 3 holes, had a couple of birdies coming in.
Wow, that's a Max Scherzer start.
Well, you're playing on the road, so you're always playing people of the home field advantage. And it's always great when you have a group of, you know, most of the guys that we send out on the road are in their early 20s, mid-20s. I was one of the older guys at 32. And you're playing...
And a day.
Yeah. 32 in a day. always great to go on the road. Next week is a big day for us, though, because one of our regulars, Alex Tenhove, is getting married.
Oh, okay.
So he's taking Billy out of the lineup. He himself is out of the lineup. He was out this weekend, I think, getting ready. So we have to get through Saturday, and then we'll see if we can make another
run. Do you know who you play Saturday?
There's a chance it could be Montgomery Country Club, which is up in the Braun territory.
Right. Right.
Braunville.
Yep.
I played Saturday, couldn't break 100. I played Sunday. Played 14 holes yesterday. Broke 100.
Nice.
Yeah, because it's 14 holes. I actually played well. Yes, I'm committing myself to an entirely new way of playing golf. And that is this. I am simply standing over the ball. And even if I have no results whatsoever, I'm taking an actual full swing. I'm not trying to guide it. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm trying to hit it as far as I can, which at my age is not very far.
195.
I'm trying to hit it as far as I can.
I just go driver. I just go driver on every shot.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
May I give a quick Bootsy update?
Please.
So
you know, there's a couple of babies out here today.
I know.
I saw a baby.
I can't even get my own kid to come to this restaurant.
Yeah.
So
your kid
now
owes us money from all the times he skipped out without paying.
The Bootster is now standing up and pulling up on every piece of furniture in the house, and he gets the biggest smile on his face and this look of triumph.
Right.
And he's starting to say some babbling sounds. And he's going through the alphabet. He started with like ba 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 ba.
Dr. Ga.
This past week, he has turned his attention towards the letter D, which is angering his mother because he is now clearly saying da da.
Oh, he is saying da da.
So on my birthday, we take him. He's geared up to go see his boy Max.
Oh, he's wearing all the Nats stuff.
Sun blocked up. We are late. Taking a kid to a game takes forever. But he is sitting in my lap saying da-da at the baseball
That's
game.
That's great. Oh, wow, great. So soon he'll say representative.
Representative.
Yes, and that'll be great. So I want to devote a little bit of time to this. This is a sad thing for me, but it's a tribute, so I need to do it. A person that I worked with when I started at Newsday, I worked with Bill Knack. Bill Knack is a sports writer of great consequence. Bill Knack died over the weekend. Bill Knack, if you recall, about a year ago, I had to go to New York and introduce Bill Knack, who was getting a Lifetime Achievement Award for sports writing. He started out at Newsday. The oddest thing to me was that he had a very dear friend. He served in Vietnam and was under the command of a man called Les Payne. Les Payne was himself a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist at Newsday. He was involved in something in the mid-70s at Newsday, won a Pulitzer for called The Heroin Trail. And these guys served together in Vietnam. They both ended up in journalism. Knack was born in Illinois and ended up in Vietnam. And like Les Payne and Doug Smith, who also served in Vietnam and came to Newsday after that, Knack spent his whole career in journalism, starting out at newspapers and then ending up in magazines. You may know his work nationally at Sports Illustrated, and you may know the fact that what he covered basically was boxing and horse racing. Knack was the biographer of Secretariat. I mean, Knack did such great work on Secretariat. Knack was one of those guys who literally slept in the barn with the horse. I mean, Knack loved horse racing in the way that Andy Beyer loves horse racing. And then Knack loved boxing as well. Now, Knack... Bill Knack was a columnist at Newsday, and I don't want to use the word terrible because Bill Knack was a great writer, but Bill Knack was not cut out to work for a newspaper. He never made deadlines. He just never made deadlines.
Is that a big part of
it? Like the last possible deadline, the 2:30 in the morning deadline, where you're holding the paper for only like 80 to 100,000 on the run out of a 600,000 run, you'd have to call Knack. Bill, are you ready? Is it ready? Is it soup yet? And then Bill would dictate and it would get in the paper. Was it worth it? Sure. It was always worth it, but it took a very, very long time. And I have two stories to illustrate, both true, about the sort of quirks of Bill Knack, who I absolutely love. Absolutely loved. Bill Knack, one time he was covering the Yankees. The Yankees were at Detroit. This was during the Reggie Jackson, Billy Martin, the terrible time for the Yankees in the late 70s. And Knack went to Detroit to write about Billy Martin and Reggie Jackson. And at the time, I don't think it was called Briggs Stadium. It might be called Tiger Stadium. It doesn't really matter what it was called. You need to understand that Detroit is the last place in the Eastern time zone. So it stays lighter in Detroit in June than any other place in America. It's light till almost 10 o'clock. You don't need the lights on in a ballpark till the sixth or seventh inning. And Knack is there to write something, and Knack is gathering all his notes, and the ball game is over, and Knack is trying to figure out what he's going to do. And at about 1 o'clock or 1:15 in the morning, the guy operating the press box says, "You got to go. You got to go.
I can't stay here
any longer. You got to go." So Knack leaves the press box and finds a concession stand, a hot dog stand that is closed, but the light is still on. And by the light, there's no lights in the ballpark. By the light of the hot dog sign in the concession area, Knack finishes typing his column, calls up, finds a payphone. Payphones worked then, don't work now. Finds a payphone, calls it in. He's done calling it in about 2:45. They've locked the ballpark. They've locked the ballpark. Most people get locked out of ballparks. Knack got locked in.
Oh, that's great.
Knack found his way down onto the field. The water is running. They're doing the infield. And Knack's there all
there?
Night long. All night long in the ballpark. This is like the legend of Bill Knack. The other story is Knack is covering Muhammad Ali. He's chasing some Muhammad Ali story, and God only knows what it is. And he's here and he's there and he's getting on planes and he's landing places. And most of us, when we traveled with teams, we had difficulty with time zones. So when you awakened in the morning, you would call the front desk and you would just say, what time is it?
Right.
In those days, before in the 70s, you don't have a cell phone. The clocks, not every hotel has clocks, and you don't know. So that was the typical call. You would call up and you would say, what time is it? In this incident, when Knack was on the third day of three different places, Bill Knack literally called up and said, where am I? Turned out he was in Bermuda.
Hello, Cleveland.
He didn't even know where he was. No, he was, where am I? Those are the legendary Knack stories. If you get a chance to Google any of his work from Sports Illustrated, you'll be mesmerized by it. He's a great, great, great writer. And this is the best tribute I can give to him. We will take a break. When we come back, we will have a jingle and we will have email. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Now I'm packing my lunch. Got some chips and some guac. Finally used that last avocado from my TK fan stock. When I got to the park, they said, Tim, come and see. But somehow the way they said it did not excite me. What now? What now? It's a sweet potato. Why now? Why now? Are you kidding me? So dumb, so dumb. Who are these people? I will not thank you, Gene.
Kirsten Ohnstadt is so great.
Just terrific.
Just
love it.
So sitting great.
Sitting all day.
Just so great. Before we get to the mailbag, let me thank Wilbon for coming on the show. Let me thank the sponsors today, Brooklyn and Casper Mattresses. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Famous people here today. Abby Lowell, smartest man in the world.
I know. Love Abby Drummond by
but Dak Goldstein. Very David nice suit, Stone. Abby Lowell.
Yeah, it's a great suit.
Yep.
Nathan Bubis. Eric in Baltimore with Michael's first Mother's Day with Liz and baby boy Bootsy approaching fast. Funny how Mother's Day sneaks up on us each year. I had a question that only your expert wisdom can solve. Are husbands required to purchase gifts for the mother of their children? A coworker asked me to purchase fundraiser flowers for my mother for Mother's Day. I said, no thanks. My mother passed away a few years ago. She then suggested I buy them for my wife. And I said, why? She's not my mother. Was I wrong? What are we thinking?
A kid the age of Bootsy should be old enough and smart enough now to know to get his own mother something. I don't think you have to do it for.
But
for kids who can't, it's probably a good move.
Yeah, I do that.
You do that.
Then I make sure the kids know they owe me.
Yeah.
You know, I got you this.
From Matt Moderno in Gaithersburg, Maryland, I wish the woman I'm related to by mortgage would laugh at my jokes the way David laughs at Nigel's. Isn't that nice, David?
That's sweet.
Casey Leth in Plymouth, Minnesota. Don't know where Plymouth, Minnesota is. As I was angrily looking at a National Weather Service Twin Cities, Minnesota tweet this morning saying we were looking at a historical storm this weekend, dumping 8 to 15 inches of snow on us, I noticed it was missing something. It didn't mention that it would be accumulating only on the grass.
15 miles west of downtown Minneapolis.
Okay. Brian Haley in Salisbury, Maryland. I wanted to write something witty about what might be my favorite moment ever on the show, but I only needed one word, Discman. Is that so funny that I have a Discman?
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit.
Is it? Well, how do people listen to music?
Dated. A phone.
Any
Your other, phone yeah. plays music.
Yeah, anyway,
the phone you currently possess.
Really? From Brent Johnson in Columbus, Ohio. Can we actually say Columbus on this show? Last week on the podcast, there was a discussion about baseball cards. You and Saliza have it right. Cards used to have the player's entire statistical history on the back. I recall having Hank Aaron and Brooks Robinson cards in the mid-70s that had so many seasons and stats it required a microscope to read them. Attaches a picture of a 1994 Nolan Ryan card with all 27 seasons of his career.
Yes.
Terry Schoonover in Jefferson City, Missouri, which is, I believe, the capital of Missouri. Let me make sure I have this right. Are you saying you drank the wine but didn't rate the wine? Yes. Yes.
That's the crucial part.
I'm saying that. Ryan in Richmond. I'm convinced no long-distance Amtrak train has been on time in the history of their operation. My grandfather worked on railroads his whole life and always wanted to ride a long-distance train as a passenger. Dutiful grandson that I am, I once flew to Chicago to meet him and ride the California Zephyr to the West Coast. The train left Chicago's Union Station around 10 a.m. and was scheduled to begin crossing the Rockies relatively early the following morning. We wanted to be sure to see the sights, so upon boarding in Chicago, Grandpa asked his car attendant if we needed to make an early break for the observation car the next morning to get a good view. His response was, "Don't worry about that. We're going to be late as hell by then." Pour one out for Amtrak Nick. So that's what we do. Mario Gravel, who writes, "Congratulations on the we are supposed to say to him,
yes.
Congrats on the PhD.
Yes.
Congratulations, Mario Gravel, on your PhD.
You have a wonderful wife.
From Benjamin Brunner, a sports radio guy, Eastern Shore of Maryland. When you say you'll go to the auction at Cal Ripken Jr.'s house with $150, don't you mean that you'll walk into the kitchen, slap a 50 on the table, and say, get out of here by noon?
Don't think that'll do it.
He's
in that
auctioning
case.
Off that house.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how it comes to auctioning off the house. You don't know what you're going to get.
Well,
I don't know why anybody would want that house.
Typically, there's minimums that need to be.
Yeah, this was in the minimum.
Yeah.
This was
This was no minimum.
Yeah.
Right, it's to $50. Your point on the show. Just bid a dollar.
Well, someone will probably
bid
two.
I'm sure it's going to go from $4 or $5 million, but it's not going to go anywhere near what he originally wanted. Mike McElroy in Philadelphia, the woman to whom I'm related by Monopoly and I, have stockpiled about 200 tickets from our local Acme, Philly Safeway. Much like you, we were one ticket away, in just about every category, until last night when I opened good old 242HC, completing the set and winning us $5 cash money. Upon learning of my victory, I let out more exclamations than Stuart Scott on a late 90s episode of SportsCenter. I've been on an emotional high ever since, so I'm writing you with some words of encouragement as now a bona fide Monopoly winner. Remember that Safeway Monopoly is a marathon, not a sprint. Keep fighting the good fight, and maybe you'll find your lucky number 242HC, just as I did. Godspeed. Well, I already won 25.
Wow.
I won 25 a month ago. I have not spent it.
You have to reinvest
the 20 and the 5.
You got to reinvest it in the Monopoly thing. That's how you win.
Double down.
No. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
You got to harvest your nuts right now, man.
Nut harvesting.
Nut harvesting.
dead to choose. It's time to let the music play. Le Bateau Roulé. Lizzie, Le Bateau Roulé. Find your favorite hat, girl. We're gonna dance the night away. Le Bateau Roulé. Lizzie, Le Bateau Roulé. The music's loud and the drinks are flowing. Plenty of friends now to keep us going. Put the sawdust on the floor. We're gonna fed the door. Le Bateau Roulé. Lizzie, Le Bateau Roulé. Find your dancing shoes. It's time to let the music play. Le Bateau Roulé. Lizzie, Le Bateau Roulé. Get your wig hat on, girl. We gonna dance the night away. Le Bateau Roulé. Lizzie, Le Bateau Roulé. Show you how. Pass a good time and pass some good wine. You'll never want to leave. Le Bateau Roulé. Lizzie, Le Bateau Roulé. Forget about those shoes, girl. You're gonna kick them off anyway. Le Bateau Roulé. Lizzie, Le Bateau Roulé. You don't need to have that hat, girl. It's time to let the music play. Le Bateau Roulé. Lizzie, Le Bateau Roulé.
Le Bateau Roulé.